You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I'm your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we are back here with a midweek edition. Now, unfortunately, there is no Cole Jackson here with me today. Something last minute popped up, so it's going to be just me answering the mailbag today. I will try my very best to be, you know, what Cole Jackson is to this show, which is a beacon of football news and analysis, especially on the offensive line. So I'll try my very best, but unfortunately, Cole not with us here today. But that doesn't mean that the content stops. And of course, we do have plenty to talk about today. In the first segment, I do want to get into, I'll call it just a general Ravens news notes and quotes segment. The Ravens protected four players on their practice squad yesterday, made a couple of practice squad moves, and just what those moves might mean for the Ravens moving forward, just not only this week, but also within the next couple of weeks. Then in the second segment, I do want to talk a little bit about the mailbag. That'll be where we dive into the mailbag. And then in our final segment, I do want to talk a little bit, like a mini preview of the Ravens' upcoming week three matchup with the Detroit Lions. So we do have a lot to talk about. Let's dive right into it here. Again, though, if you are following along with us on YouTube, subscribe to the channel if you want to. Hit that like button. It helps out the YouTube algorithm. And also be sure to follow us if you're following along on audio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Our content comes out Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. And also be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. So with all that being said, let's dive right into it here, starting off with some general Ravens news notes and quotes. More on the news side, though. The Ravens, they did make a couple of practice squad moves, pulling up the moves here. The Ravens ended up signing David Sharp and Jared Smith-Jones to the practice squad, two tackles, and released tackle Foster Sorrell, or I'll call him offensive lineman Foster Sorrell, and also linebacker, inside linebacker Blake Gallagher. Now, signing two tackles of the practice squad means a couple of things, but first, a bit of background on both players. Sharp was drafted in the fourth round by the then Oakland Raiders in 2017, has kind of bounced around the league a little bit, was most recently with the Washington football team. And for Smith-Jones, he's been on the NFL level for a little while, has bounced around football, played at the American Alliance of Football for a little bit before that league folded, was an undrafted guy in the 2018 draft. So two guys on the younger-ish side can provide them depth. Now, the actual depth purposes for these guys, we'll see what it ends up meaning for the team. But I do think that it puts a little bit of perspective into what Ronnie Stanley's feeling right now, because we obviously know Ronnie Stanley missed that week two game against the Chiefs with his ankle injury. It clearly is not back at 100% yet. And so now the Ravens, all things considered, at least at the time of this recording, I anticipate the Ravens probably signing a tackle from their practice squad to the active roster, whether that is Andre Smith or Adrian Ealy. The Ravens have four tackles on their practice squad right now. And I think that that might have something to do with Stanley's status. Now, it might not, right? They might be totally unrelated. The Ravens just want the depth because they didn't really have a lot of it. And now they don't even more, especially with Stanley going through what he's going through. And of course, Tyree Phillips now on injured reserve. So those are two big things where, why would the Ravens keep four tackles on their practice squad? Well, again, I anticipate probably one of them ending up signing with the active roster. Maybe not, but that's just a hunch of mine. And then also, I think that both guys, you know, they can provide a bit of versatility, but obviously these guys are people who are just coming into the franchise now. There's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. Now, Andre Smith is a bit of an exception. Andre Smith was signed back to the Ravens practice squad last week. And for him, he had been with the team since the end of that 2019 season. So he had been a bit familiar with, hey, this is how the Ravens do things on offense. This is what the blocking scheme is, right? This is what they do. But for Sharp and for Smith-Jones, those are two guys who we're going to have to learn it a bit. Now, the practice squad protections for this team, pretty similar to what they were last week. Quarterback Trace McSorley, running back Le'Veon Bell, offensive tackle David Sharp, and inside linebacker Josh Bynes. Now, the only difference there is obviously it was Sharp over Smith. Does that have anything to do with the fact that it might be Smith who is promoted to the active roster and signs with the active roster. I mean, maybe. But again, at the time of this recording, there's nothing known as to if an offensive tackle will be signed to the active roster yet. So overall, yeah, the Ravens, they want to protect Trace McSorley, obviously. Le'Veon Bell, there have been a bunch of running back injuries throughout the NFL so far. And obviously the Ravens have been a pretty big team that has been hit by a lot of bad injuries at that position. So teams are probably looking for solid running backs like the Ravens did, and all their injuries happened pretty much at once. It was over the course of a couple weeks. So they went out there and they got Latavius Murray and Devonta Freeman and Le'Veon Bell. Whereas if teams knew that, you know, by week two or by week three, they would have had the injuries they did, maybe Latavius Murray goes somewhere else, or maybe Devonta Freeman goes somewhere else. Same thing with Le'Veon Bell. So protecting Bell, I think, is smart. Even if he's not going to get called up, it seems like the Ravens want to incorporate him at some point, probably getting him back into game shape a little bit, catching him up on the offense. His running style is a bit different. It's more of that patient run style. So just figuring everything out. Now, do the Ravens have to activate four running backs on game day when none of those guys would play special teams? The most likely of them playing special teams, probably Tyson Williams. I mean, probably not. Honestly, I wouldn't do that. But having the depth never hurts. I mean, especially after the Ravens went through all those brutal injuries at the running back position. But getting back to Ronnie Stanley a little bit, and this is something I have talked about a little bit last week, a little bit this week as well. The tackles on the roster right now, you know, obviously Alejandro Villanueva is filling in on the left side. For Stanley, they move Patrick McCurry out to the right tackle spot because he is the kind of jack-of-all-trades guy. And we'll continue talking about this as this segment goes on. But I think a lot of people feel a little bit better about where this Ravens offensive line is now as opposed to what they were in week one. And I think, yeah, obviously it's going to take a little time for these guys to gel together, to work together and figure things out. But it's all a process. And we saw what Alejandro Villanueva can do. It was not perfect, but we saw what he can do at the end of the day. So the Ravens, they do need the depth there, though. This is a position that the Ravens have kind of neglected over the past couple of seasons. They didn't take a tackle in the 2021 draft. That shocked me. I think it shocked a lot of people. And now they're starting to have that. I'm not going to say catch up to them, but they are assigning two guys off of the street to play on their practice squad, maybe get promoted to the active roster. Andre Smith is back with the team after friend of the show, Mr. Spencer Schultz, who went to training camp, said that he really did not do a lot. He was working his way back into game shape after taking that entire 2020 season off. He opted out due to COVID. So the Ravens are working with what they have right now. And I mean, they have to. At this point in the year, you're really not going to find a lot of quality offensive tackle depth unless you try to make a trade for somebody. But even then, who's going to want to give up a promising young piece or a solid veteran contributor unless, one, they're not competing whatsoever, two, the player is just not a fit there, they're holding out, they're causing a scene or something, and three, unless the return is huge. Are the Ravens going to try to invest in a tackle who is unhappy in their situation? Well, first of all, who's out there? Not a ton. So look, the Ravens, they signed Alejandro Villanueva, got a couple of undrafted free agents, or trusting the guys they had on their roster. Hopefully Ronnie Stanley can get back to 100%. Again, we'll continue talking about that throughout the rest of this show. But I mean, look, overall, the team is going to improve and continue to improve on the offensive line. It's something that I'm not overly concerned about. The one thing I will say I'm a bit concerned about is the depth, because you know, if Stanley isn't able to go, that's obviously not ideal. You want Ronnie Stanley on the football field. He is an all-pro when he's healthy, but that's the key, when he is healthy. Getting Ronnie Stanley on the field when he's not 100% healthy, is he as good as a replacement-level player? We saw in week one, the answer is no, because regardless of how good Ronnie Stanley is when he's healthy, if he's not out there and he's not really finding a way to get his assignments done, to get to his spots correctly, it gets a little dicey, right? Because you're looking at it and he's not really doing the job that a lot of people know that he can do. So getting him back to 100% is where my heart is right now, because I wouldn't want to, one, risk Ronnie Stanley to more injuries or re-aggravating it in a more serious way. And two, even if he's out there at 60, 50%, the product that you're getting on the field is not helping your football team, as opposed to a McCurry or a Villanueva, who, when healthy and in the right position to succeed, can do a lot of good work. So the Ravens, They made a couple of practice squad moves. Sorrell was re-signed last week. The team didn't like what they saw. They're keeping him on the back burner for now. He is now out, and Blake Gallagher spent some time with the team before the 2021 preseason, but they just need more depth at tackle right now. They have Josh Bynes already on that practice squad, so there wasn't really a spot necessary for Gallagher on the team right now. But we're going to head into our first break, and when we get back, we'll be diving into our mailbag. We have a couple of great questions, so stay tuned for that. But with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need into a traditional chain storefront. Why endure from pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts in their computer, choosing only a brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On, and how'd you hear about us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. And we are back with our second segment of this Wednesday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Oshak, your host, still hanging out with you here. And now we're going to dive into this mailbag. We have four great questions we're going to get into here in this second segment and pulling them up. We're going to start off here with two questions from Brendan Ward, or B. Ward. And the first one, do you think OA will become a starter due to the lack of pressures slash sacks from other outside linebackers and his playmaking? And so, Brendan, this is an interesting question. Me personally, I don't play as much into the who's starting, who's not type role, but it is important to kind of figure out, well, when should Odafe Owe begin to get more snaps? And John Harbaugh made it pretty clear before the season, and even a couple times right before the season, and even during it, that Owe is someone who they expect big things out of. I know a lot of people, and Spencer Schultz talked about this yesterday, put that project tag on him, and were like, this is someone, yeah, no sacks in college, still learning the game. It's going to be something where a couple years down the line, he's going to start putting it together. I thought he was a project, but more the project type of he'll start putting it together towards the end of 2021, the middle end of 2021. But we're seeing right off the bat that OA has been disruptive, not only in the run game, but in the pass game as well, the pass rushing department. He's someone who he's a do-it-all player. He has the athletic traits. He's amazing with his athletic traits. The speed is obviously there, sideline to sideline. He is strong. He works off of tackles very well. I mean, I could go on and on about just what Odafe Owe brings to this team. But when you look at who should be playing, who shouldn't be playing, Tyus Bowser hasn't done a ton this year, like on the stat sheet. He's made some type of impact, but you know, you're looking at what Odafe Owe has done. He has been one of the best defenders on this team so far through 2 weeks. And he has been one of the bright spots, and there haven't been many so far, of a Ravens pass rush that did not sack Patrick Mahomes in week two and still won the football game. Like, That's insanity. It's unbelievable. So this team, that they have some work to do in the pass rush department, but Odafe Owe is definitely helping. And you know what happens when Daylon Hayes comes back? Is he going to be able to make some type of contribution, or is he just going to be a healthy scratch for the whole year? We don't know that yet, but it'll be interesting to find out. I mean, Owe has the playmaking ability. He has been somebody who has been a beacon of consistency, and it's very arguable. I mean, this is almost a fact to me that the Ravens don't win the game on Sunday night against Kansas City without Odafe Owe. You know, he forces that fumble. He splits between Orlando Brown and Joe Tooney and makes that play. There are not a lot of people, even veterans, who can do that. There are some, don't get me wrong, and Owe's not the only player who can do it. But there are plenty of guys out there who couldn't do that. And the Ravens, they've seen some flashes out of Justin Houston. They've gotten some interior pressure. Justin Madubuike has shown it from the interior. Calais Campbell's, he got kind of dinged up. He was in and out of that game in week two, but he's a dominant force in there. Derek Wolfe hopefully will be able to provide something. Tyus Bowser, again, hopefully will be able to step up. But Owe has been a very big bright spot. So, you know, will he be listed among the starters, you know, when they do the rundowns on Sunday night or Monday night or whatever it may be? I wouldn't put too much stock into that. I'd be looking more at the snap counts. I think Owe's snap count is going to steadily increase over the course of these next couple of weeks because of what he's been able to do on the football field, which has been produce. You know, he had that his first career sack in week one against the Raiders, comes back, forces that huge fumble, forces Patrick Mahomes into an interception in week two. It's those types of plays where, you know, Obe doesn't get credit for a sack on that Mahomes interception, but people who obviously watch the game, watch the film, understand stuff. Coming out of college, he was a disruptor. And he was someone, I talked about this with Yannick Ngakoue last season with Baltimore, where he was somebody who really was like a fingernail or a hair away from like three or four more sacks than he had. And Owe was kind of that guy at Penn State where he was so close to getting to the quarterback, but the quarterback either released the football or something else happened. So it doesn't show up on the stat sheet. But the stat sheet is not what people should be looking at. They should be looking at the production of Adafi Owe, which I think so far has been phenomenal at the NFL level. And then our second question from Brendan here, two, Harbaugh said that Cleveland and Powers may rotate in games. Do you think settling on one is important for continuity? If so, who would be your choice? I pick Ben Cleveland. And yeah, Brandon, this is honestly a hard one for me because I think a lot of people, they saw what the tandem was last year at right tackle with DJ Fluker and Tyree Phillips, and they're thinking, oh no, not again. No, thank you. Because it wasn't great. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. Now, there are pros and cons to having an actual tandem at a position on the offensive line. The pros are that it takes the pressure off of these guys and it keeps them fresh. It doesn't put as much pressure on Ben Powers to play a full 60 minutes. It doesn't put as much pressure on Ben Cleveland to play a full 60 minutes. I mean, I personally am not in love with the idea of a rotation at left guard, but I'm a lot more confident in what the Ravens have at that position as opposed to what they had at right tackle last year. I think Powers does a great job in the run game, and obviously so does Cleveland. I thought both players played pretty well against the Chiefs. Both had some things they had to clean up on, especially in pass protection. But Ben Cleveland, obviously, we know is a mauler in the run game. Ben Powers, his quote pre-draft was something along the lines of, I like to steal the souls of players in the fourth quarter. So both are very physically imposing people. I mean, look, I think for now it's fine. I would prefer they settle on somebody preferably in the middle of the year, and hopefully that does not be happening because of injuries. I hope they can find somebody who they think can fit their system better than the other and keep the other guy as a backup for maybe positional versatility on that side. So if I had to pick one, you know, Ben Cleveland's a very popular choice. Ben Powers is someone who has that veteran experience. I think that Ben Powers is the better choice here by, like, again, talking about a hair, literally like a hair. I just think the veteran experience is good for now, but obviously how do players get better at the NFL level? It's getting practice and playing in those game situations. So if it's Ben Cleveland, I'm not going to sit here and complain. I mean, the Ravens have two decent options at the position. Ben Cleveland, I think, you know, maybe a hot take, but he will probably be starting at some point. If it's not the end of this year, probably the beginning of next year at the very latest. So the Ravens, I think, have big things in store for Ben Cleveland. But for now, I think a tandem is fine. And then hopefully they do find somebody who they think is the better choice for them. And then they can move forward with that player, get him in those game situations, and just get him in a flow. Get him, you know, people say ride the hot hand with running backs. Well, it's kind of like riding the hot offensive lineman with the rotations. But again, I prefer them probably to settle on somebody before the end of the year is there for the Ravens. So that's my take on that. Next here, we'll get into a question from Tim Duncan's burner. So Tim Duncan is back here and he asks, does the offensive line go from worst in the NFL to best in the NFL, or were my eyes deceiving me? And so, yeah, this is a popular question. I mean, it's no, the Ravens offensive line did not go from worst to best in one game, but we saw huge improvement. And this is something I was talking about. I know a lot of people were terribly down on this offensive line after week one. And look, it was a bad performance. I'm not arguing that whatsoever. But I did say on the show leading up to the year, before week one, after week one, and I'll say it again here, right after week two, is the Ravens offensive line still, to this day, at the time of this recording, needs time to gel with each other to get familiar with each other on the football field. The Ravens, they endured three offensive line changes after the first week, after already trying to shuffle in some new guys with Villanueva and with Kevin Zeitler, moving Bradley Bozeman over. The Ravens, with Stanley being out and Tyree Phillips on IR, had to move over Villanueva from the right side to the left side. They put Pesher McCary on the right side at right tackle, and then also put Ben Powers and obviously the rotation of Ben Cleveland in there as well at the left guard position. That's a lot of change to endure after just 1 week at the NFL level, especially at a very important position on the offensive line, which we saw struggle really badly against the Raiders in week one. So the offensive line, I was very impressed with. I thought guys just looked like they knew more. And I'm not bashing their football IQ, but playing together with a new group, especially as we know the Ravens only gave their offensive starters a series against the Washington football team in the final preseason game. So it's going to be important for them to continue stacking good performances like this. I think the game against Detroit, which we'll talk about in the final segment, is another great place to do that. And overall, look, Alejandro Villanueva is not a bad player. You know, he's somebody who has had a plethora of experience at left tackle at the NFL level. He is a Pro Bowler, so he knows what he's doing. But the transition from the left side to the right side is a very tough situation for any player, especially someone who's coming over to a new team, didn't have a lot of time with his teammates on the field to start the season, the training camp, the preseason. So it's a matter of these guys working together. The Ravens offensive line is not the best in the NFL right now. They still have work to do, but I was very, very encouraged. I think Bradley Bozeman has played phenomenal football over these last 2 weeks. Kevin Zeitler is getting more and more comfortable. He made a game-sealing block. He sealed off on a pull where he did a great job not letting his guy get to Lamar Jackson on that 4th-and-1 run to seal the game. So I was very impressed. There's that viral clip of Villanueva kind of clubbing down at somebody's hand against the Chiefs and people going, oh, man, like, Lord help us, God help us. But no, this is a team that the offensive line will figure it out, like we saw against Kansas City. There will be rough games. There will be good games. You know, it's not going to be perfect for the entire season, but the offensive line, I think, is in better shape than a lot of people thought it was coming out of week one. And finally, here, pulling up the final question from our mailbag, it comes from Connor, and he asks, I know this may sound crazy, but if Villanueva can't play right tackle and Stanley is still struggling with his agility needed to play left tackle, could we use Stanley at left guard and keep McCarry at right tackle? And so this is an interesting question here from Connor, just looking at a couple of different things. There's been a lot of question marks about Ronnie Stanley so far during this 2021 season. Obviously, is he 100% healthy? Clearly, he's not. But I think that the Ravens obviously are paying him to play left tackle. They want him at left tackle. That's the position Ronnie Stanley is playing in this Baltimore offense. I don't see him moving to left guard. I mean, that would be more of like, I'm not going to call it a disaster, but imagine, you know, if the Ravens move Ronnie Stanley in to the left guard spot, why did they trade Orlando Brown in the first place? If he could have just slid into left tackle and everything would have been fine. Now, obviously, the loss of agility is a bigger concern for some people than others. I think the Ravens just need to get Ronnie Stanley right, whether that's having him on injured reserve, whether that's putting him on short term, whether they want to hold him out for a month or two, whatever they have to do. I think McCarry is great, and he's someone who is a jack of all trades. Villanueva showed that he can still play left tackle, especially against players like Chris Jones, for example, Frank Clark. But, I mean, looking at it from a perspective of Ronnie Stanley's probably staying on the left side because I think that's what's happening. He's going to stay at left tackle. They just need to get him physically right. The question I'm going to kind of pose is, who plays right tackle? You know, do the Ravens keep McCarry there when Stanley comes back? Or do they try to make that transition with Villanueva again, even though we saw that in week one he was not playing good football? You know, do you want to risk putting that back out there when Villanueva is playing his best ball on the left side of the line? I mean, look, it depends on how Patrick McCarry plays. Is that one game from McCarry a fluke, or is he going to continue to play that way? We have to figure that over the next couple of weeks. Obviously, there's the one-week reactions where a player plays terribly and everybody wants him out the door, or a player plays amazing football and everybody's like, all right, give this guy $60 million over 2 years. You know, it's stuff like that. So if Patrick McCarry keeps playing well at right tackle, I don't think there's any reason to take him out of there. The only issue was the Ravens paid Alejandro Villanueva a decent amount of money to play tackle for them. He still has another year left on that contract. They can get out of that contract pretty easily if they want to. But if Villanueva is that guy who can come in and play tackle at a high level on the left side, I don't think that's a bad investment of money. Obviously, the other question is, what is Juwan James going to do in this offense? But I'm personally probably not moving Ronnie Stanley over to the left guard spot. I'm keeping him at left tackle. And then I'm picking between Villanueva and McCarry for me in terms of who plays the right tackle position. It'll be interesting to see how McCarry performs. But if it is McCarry who keeps playing well, I personally wouldn't disrupt that and keep Villanueva as a very more of a higher end option as a backup tackle. So that's my stance on that. four really good mailbag questions here for us today, but we're going to head into our final break. And when we get back, we're going to be getting into a mini preview of the Ravens game with the Detroit Lions in week three. So stay tuned for that. But we're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline AG continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use a mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And, hey Ravens fans, this is Kevin Ostreicher with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about, GetUpside. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app or use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code TOUCHDOWN. And we are back here with our final segment of this Wednesday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher is still hanging out with you here. And we're now going to dive into a mini preview of this Detroit Lions game that the Ravens will be playing here in week three. It'll be a 1 o'clock game, the first 1 o'clock game for the Ravens this season. It'll be different to cover for sure after having those two past 8 o'clock games, one at 8:15, one at 8:20. So the Ravens playing afternoon football at Ford Field in Detroit. And this is a game that, look, the Ravens, they should probably win it. I mean, the Lions team right now, not great. Starting off 0-2, they put up a fight against the Packers on Monday night, but it wasn't enough. You know, the third quarter, the Lions kind of start to relinquish that lead. They did lead at halftime, but, you know, the defense kind of crumbled. Jared Goff didn't really do what he was doing. This Lions team, you know, just to back some stuff up with stats, because I think it's important to look at just how this team has performed so far through 2 weeks. Looking at their offense, they are number one in attempts and number 12 in yards passing the football. They're number five in passing touchdowns, number three in total first downs. But you look at the passing net yards per attempt, which is what I would rather look at. They end up ranking 25th in the league with 5.7 net yards per attempt on offense. And on defense, they're giving up 9.4 net yards per attempt. That ranks last in the entire NFL at number 32. Rushing the football, the Lions are actually fourth in the NFL, averaging 5.2 yards per carry. DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams doing a great job there. Looking at the actual rushing yards, though, it's, you know, they're in the middle of the pack there, 14th. They're giving up the 15th most with 227. So this is a team that throws the football a lot and doesn't really run it. Now, part of that does have to do with the fact that they get down, and they got down in that 49ers game in week one. They were airing out the football. They get down against Green Bay in the second half in week two. They have to air out the football a little bit. So the Ravens are going to have to figure out, you know, can they generate some pass rush? I think this is a big game for the pass rush because not really a ton of pressure, both in week one and week two. There have been flashes, but I don't think anything up to the standards that the Ravens want to see so far and that a lot of people want to see so far out of the Ravens. So getting guys like Tyus Bowser going, maybe Justin Houston can have a multi-sack game. Can Adafe Owe continue to stack his performances? The Lions offensive line is, you know, not the best. Penei Sewell's on that line. He tried to make that transition over to right tackle, much like Alejandro Villanueva in Baltimore. So we'll see what ends up happening. But I think that this is going to be a big game for the Ravens on offense. Again, I mentioned that the run defense not completely there for them, and they lost Jeff Okuda. Their leading tackler right now is Alex Anzalone. So I think that the Ravens are setting up for a big win, but this is a game where they're not going to be able to go in and just kind of nonchalantly run around and kind of take off Sunday because it's the Detroit Lions. The Lions almost came back against San Francisco. The Lions went up at halftime against the Packers, right? This is a team that can do some damage. Jared Goff, people don't really respect him. I think he's a little better than people say he is, although he's definitely not in that upper echelon of quarterbacks, obviously. He can still sling the football, do some good things. He has 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions this season. Jamal Williams, DeAndre Smith have made for a decently good running back duo so far, but the Lions don't really have a ton of pass-catching weapons. You know, Tyrell Williams is there, Amon-Ra St. Brown. There aren't a lot of guys. Obviously, the big guy the Ravens are going to have to key in on in this one is tight end T.J. Hockenson, who has performed phenomenally. He's been great this year, one of the best tight ends in the league for the Detroit Lions, and he's somebody who I think the Ravens will have to key in on after having Darren Waller in week 1 and Travis Kelce in week 2. They have T.J. Hockenson in week 3 and then Noah Fant, another good tight end, in week 4. So the Ravens kind of struggled to contain both Waller and Kelce. Can they contain T.J. Hockenson? That's going to be a huge factor in this game for me. They're going to have to figure it out because tight ends can't burn them for the entire year, and I expect the Ravens to get out to a decently big lead in this one. Maybe we'll see some Tyler Huntley in the fourth quarter in this one, but again, if the Ravens kind of play down to their opponents, which we have seen, not so much in the Lamar Jackson era, but more in the later stages of the Joe Flacco era, the Ravens would drop some games that they easily should have won because they just played down to their opponents. But this is a game where I expect Jimmy Smith to probably return. Not a given, not a guarantee, but he should be able to return. Could Derek Wolfe return potentially? And then after this game, you know, kind of peeking ahead at the future, kind of a big week in terms of who comes back off of injured reserve, because for players who were placed on it after cutdown day, Rashad Bateman, Miles Boykin, I do think Nick Boyle falls in that category as well, although it was after cutdown day. The Ravens could get some of those guys back, which will be really, really exciting. But this is a game the Ravens have to focus on. And actually, Ravens legend Michael Brocker is going to be in uniform for Detroit, maybe, if he's not injured. I think he was limited in practice. But he's somebody who, you know, the Ravens defense will have to key in on. The Lions have some talent, but I think the Ravens have more talent. And with the way that the Lions have performed so far this year, they put up some points, but they've also had really, really rough stretches. The Ravens sometimes, you know, start off a bit slow, and then they kind of pick up as the game goes on. Other times they start off really fast and kind of level off for a bit before picking up towards the end of the game and then, you know, kind of stumbling the up and down roller coaster performance. So this Lions team is one that the Ravens should be able to get a win against. I'd expect them to move to 2-1 here. I think that overall the Ravens, I'm not saying this is a must-win game, but I mean, technically in my book, it kind of is, because you look at the back half of the schedule with 5 of the last 7 games coming against division rivals, and then the last 2 games in there that are not division opponents are the Green Bay Packers and the Los Angeles Rams. Games like this are important to pick up wins for or in, because if you lose this game, that means you have to win another game somewhere else, unless, you know, the Ravens win every other game or something else happens. So I think that after a couple of so-so performances, not so great performances by the Ravens defense, this team will come back. They'll come out firing, and this will be a game that I think the Ravens win pretty handily, but we'll be continuing to talk about it here throughout the rest of the week here on Locked On Ravens. But that's all I have for you today here on Locked On Ravens. Let me get back here tomorrow, though. We'll be diving into our third crossover Thursday of the 2021 season, talking to Locked On Lions. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.